It's springtime in Vermont. Sometimes hard to tell. Dustin and I were actually hanging out at August 1st, and we were looking out the window, and it was snowing one minute, and then it was like brightly sunny the next, and you're like, what season are we in exactly? But it's spring. One of the dead giveaways, I think, is the rising rivers. As snow melts, it fills our streams, which then go and they fill our bigger rivers. And if you cross the bridge kind of going into Winooski, you can catch a glimpse of what I mean. You can catch a glimpse of sort of what spring looks and sounds and feels like. It is this noisy, turbulent, churning river. I think if you cross that bridge, you would see perhaps something more. That it's not just what spring looks like in Vermont. Maybe even what our lives look like. If you look at that river, sort of this noisy, turbulent, churning sort of mass of water can also be, in some sense, a glimpse into what our hearts are often like. Not just every now and then, but pretty much all of the time. Our lives are overwhelmed with noise, activity, distraction. The streams of busyness and restlessness flowing into this river that is our life, right? The river hurry. Like the Winooski River in March, the river hurry is perpetually noisy and turbulent and churning. Ask someone how they're doing, and I can almost guarantee the answer, right? How are you? I'm good. I'm just so busy, right? I'm so busy. I'm crazy busy. Why is that? We wear our busyness kind of like a badge of honor, don't we? Being busy communicates I matter. I'm an important person, right? I get stuff done, or so we think. In his article for the New York Times called The Busy Trap, Tim Kreider writes, "Busyness serves as a kind of existential reassurance. Obviously, your life cannot possibly be silly or trivial or meaningless if you're so busy, completely booked, and demand every hour of the day." But Kreider is hinting at something in this article. Right? Maybe the busyness we wear as a badge of honor is actually more like a suit of armor. We don't wear our busyness because we're proud. We put on the armor of busyness because deep down inside we are anxious and afraid. Deep down inside we're afraid that we aren't good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough. We're pretty enough. And so we get crazy busy. If I don't hustle, someone else is going to eat my bread. If I don't do those exercises, I'm never going to get the swipe right. If I don't join 15 clubs this semester, I'm never going to get the summer internship. If I don't watch all of those TV shows and listen to all of those podcasts, I'm going to be uncool and out of the loop. Deep down inside, you're anxious and afraid. You feel like you don't measure up. So you jump on that treadmill, you run on that hamster wheel, and you go as fast as you can. You get really busy. Look how awesome I am. Like, I'm a rock star. But deep underneath all that noise and all that activity, all that sort of frenetic movement is really just a tired, insecure sheep. It's not just busyness that contributes to our sense of hurriedness. Restlessness does too. For starters, we carry a kind of infinity in our pockets. This thing that is literally designed to distract us and keep us awake and rob us of sleep. We're restless, I think, in another sense, too. Online and offline, we go from one thing to the other, thinking that this person or this place or this thing will finally satisfy me. But it can't, and it won't. Right? Despite all of our consumption, whether we're consuming people or places or things, we're never satisfied. We're restless. I want to unpack this a little bit more for you. In 2017, Netflix put out a press release promoting a new sport called binge racing. Now, binge watching is when you watch more than 5 episodes in one sitting. Binge racing is when you watch an entire season of a show in the day that it came out, like on the day that they release it on Netflix. That's what binge racing is. And the Netflix CEO was asked about this, and he sort of responded like, what's the problem? He said, there are only a certain amount of hours in a day that humans can tend to activities, and Netflix's goal is to occupy all of those hours. He said that the biggest competition Netflix faces is not from other streaming services like Amazon Prime or HBO. He said, and I quote, our biggest competitor is sleep, and we're winning. And he's not alone in his ambition. Apps like Netflix, Instagram, TikTok, all of them are intentionally engineered to steal your time and to eat into your attention. They are a kind of digital carnivore, right? These things that are constantly eating away your time, attention, and even sleep, literally leaving you feel restless. Right? There's another reason why you are so restless, and this one is more innate. One of the reasons why you're restless is because you're made in the image of God. You are created to know the infinite God and to be filled with his infinite love. And when we turn our backs on God, we still have infinite desire, but now we're trying to fill that infinite desire with finite things. The result is restlessness. Right? We move through this world like sheep, wandering from one clump of grass to another, always grazing, but never satisfied. Right? We think that that clump of grass over there is going to fill me up, but we go over there and we eat it all up and it runs out and we're still not satisfied. So we move to the next clump of grass and we do the exact same thing and then the same thing and then the same thing, restlessly on the move, looking for more. And no matter how much we see or do or buy or sell or eat or drink or experience or travel, we always want more. We're restless. And advertising capitalizes on this feeling of restlessness. It holds out the promise that if you just buy this bathrobe, or you just buy this laptop, or you just go on this cruise, you'll be truly satisfied. But you got the bathrobe, and you got the laptop, and you went on the cruise, and you're still not happy, right? You're still not satisfied. And when it fails to deliver, we don't blame the search, we blame the bathrobe. We blame the laptop, or we blame the cruise, and we're off to the races again, right? The binge race, in search of that finite thing that can fill the infinite void. C.S. Lewis said, most people, and I'm quoting him here, he says, and I quote, most people, if they had really learned to look into their hearts, would know that they do want, and want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. But here's the kicker. He says, if I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. The 4th century African theologian Augustine said it best. He said, O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Our lives are often lived at this intersection where the river busyness and the river restlessness come together to create the river hurry. That's where we live so much of the time, where these two streams meet. Hurry was a thing before the internet. Like, people were busy and restless before iPhones. But just like climate change is making the weather more intense, our technology is ratcheting up the noise and the restlessness too. We're flooded more than ever before with noise and information and activity. And Christians are not immune from this crisis. In his book, Subversive Sabbath, The Surprising Power of Rest in a Nonstop World, author A.J. Swoboda writes, and I quote, the church has uncritically mimicked the rhythms of the industrial and success-obsessed West. The result? We have become perhaps the most emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, and spiritually malnourished people in history. Let me just say that one more time. He says, we have become perhaps the most emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, and spiritually malnourished people in history. The question is, what is Jesus' reaction to people like that? How does Jesus respond to people like us? Emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, spiritually malnourished. Well, in the Bible, we read in Matthew 9:37 that when Jesus saw the crowds, who were just like that, just in some ways a lot like us, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's Matthew 9:37. Filled with compassion, Jesus, the good shepherd, pursues harassed, helpless, and hurried sheep. He pursues them. He calls them to himself, and he gives them and gives us rest. Look at this passage here, just two chapters later, Matthew 11. Come to me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to hear the same verse sort of translated into American idiom. Are you tired, worn out, burned out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Y'all, the solution to our hurry is not more time. You don't need more time. You'll do with it what you do with the time that you already have. You're just going to fill it with noise. You're going to get busy and restless with it. You don't need more time. You don't need more stuff. The solution to our hurry is returning to and resting in the Good Shepherd. That's the solution. The thing that's actually going to calm you down and bring peace to your souls. It is returning to and resting in the Good Shepherd. Isaiah 30:15. We'll put this up here too. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and in trust is your strength. The word repentance literally means returning. It means to turn around, to go home. What would it mean for you if you quit wearing your busyness like a badge or like a suit of armor? What would that mean for you if you quit doing that? Like, what would it mean for you if you quit racing from one clump of grass to another in search of this thing that's finally going to satisfy you but won't? What if you, like, quit doing that and you just turned around, right? You just changed direction. You just went in the other direction. Here's what I think it would mean. I think it would mean seeing home. I think if you turned around, like, from going after all of this other stuff that's never going to satisfy, and you just turned around, you would not just see home. You would see the face of your good shepherd who is going after you. You would finally see the face of your shepherd. Kurt Thompson said, we are all born into this world looking for someone, looking for us. We're all born into this world looking for someone who's looking for us. See, we all have this ache inside of us that makes us get really busy and leaves us restless. We want to be wanted. We want to be seen. We want to be known. We want to be loved. And we're looking for someone who is looking for us, for someone who can see us at the depths of our being
And when they see us at the depths of our being, says yes. A love that will meet us where we are at, and a love that will not leave us there. Now, I wouldn't fault you for looking for that love in your parents or in your friends or in a spouse. But these people will let you down, and you will let them down. There is only one whose love is this good. There's only one who doesn't just see you, but sees into you. Doesn't just see you as you present yourself to the world with your busyness badge on, who sees that scared sheep behind that suit of armor. There's only one who sees the goodness inside of you, but also the brokenness that you try to hide and mask, you know, from the world. Who sees your sins, but also sees your scars, the ways that you've been sinned against, who sees it all. And this one who sees you and sees into you is Jesus. And when he sees you, he doesn't avert his gaze. He doesn't turn around in disgust. He moves towards you in love and compassion and says yes to all of you. He meets you where you're at, and he does not leave you there. Because he is a good shepherd who loves his lost sheep. See, we're all born into this world looking for someone who's looking for us. And Jesus is the one who is looking for you. We just sang about it in that song, Reckless Love, right? There's no shadow he won't light up, like mountain he won't climb up, coming after us. He's a shepherd who goes after lost sheep. He's a shepherd who knows you by name and who calls you by name. And draws you to himself. He loves you so much that he's willing to die for you. Right? His love is as high as the heavens, as far as east is from the west, and as deep as the grave. Psalm 23:2. The shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. A sheep lying down in green pastures is a perfect picture of contentment. He's not lying like in the dust. He's lying in green pastures. There's plenty to eat, and that is like what sheep do. They eat and they eat and they eat. But here he is amongst green pastures, and he's not eating. He's lying down in it. And the reason why he's lying down in it is because he's content. I don't need to consume and consume and consume because I'm with my shepherd. And I'm okay. I'm okay. When you encounter the love that God has for you in Jesus, you will encounter a love that will actually satisfy your aching heart. And it will make you lie down in green pastures. Who he is and what he has done for you is more than you could ask for or imagine. And when that clicks, you're like, I can lie down. I'm okay. I don't need to keep hustling, right? A sheep lying down in green pastures is not just a picture of perfect contentment. It's a picture of what the Sabbath is and is meant to be. The Sabbath is this command that God gives us to work 6 days and then to rest on a seventh. One day out of seven, God says, stop. That's what Sabbath means, actually. It just means stop. Stop trying to earn. Stop trying to achieve. Stop trying to prove yourself. Stop trying to be productive. You don't have to get super busy to earn my attention, God says. You don't have to get super busy to earn my love. He says, I see you, and I say yes to you. You aren't loved because you're great. You know that, right? You aren't loved because you're great. You are great because you are loved. And you're loved by him. Sabbath is not just about ceasing to work. It's about ceasing to consume. You don't have to keep running from one clump of grass to another. You don't need to buy or sell or shop or surf the web. You just put all that away and enjoy what you already have. It's a day for that. In the words of John Mark Comer, on the Sabbath, we drink deeply from the well of ordinary life. A meal with friends, time with family, a walk in the forest, afternoon tea. Above all, slow down long enough to enjoy life with God, who offers everything that materialism promises but can never deliver on, namely contentment. In his excellent book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, the same John Mark Comer points out that Sabbath is the only spiritual discipline that makes it into the Ten Commandments. Right? The same list as don't murder and don't steal and don't commit adultery. This one, don't be a workaholic. Right? Don't work 7 days a week. Right? Rest on a seventh. And why is that? Well, I think it means that God doesn't want you to just know about his love with your head as some sort of abstraction. I think God wants you to have it one day out of the week, 52 days out of the year, where you just stop and you enjoy being a sheep in the care of your shepherd. That you don't have to earn, you don't have to produce, you don't have to do anything. You can just be, right? A human being, not a human doing. Just enjoying what it's like to be a sheep and the care of your shepherd, and to know his love, not just here, but in here. It's that important, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside still waters, essentially the opposite of the river Hurry. God leads me beside still waters. Again, to quote Isaiah 30:15, in quietness and in trust is your strength. And then beginning Psalm 23:3, he restores my soul. I want you to note the word rest and restore. Right? The word restore means to repair, so as to return something to its original condition. The word restore also means to give something stolen or lost back to its original owner. Jesus restores our soul. He mends our broken hearts. And he returns us home. He brings us back to where we belong, right, to our original owner, right? You know what the river Hurry is like. But do you know about green pastures? Do you know about still waters? Your good shepherd is calling you, and he's calling you by name, saying, are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me, and I'll give you rest. In returning in rest, you will be saved. In quietness and in trust will be your strength. So return to and rest in him. Let's pray.